thinking about the what you told me to do is about think about the line before it.
Yeah.
And I was about to say, shall I play for you? And then I'm like, no, it's
so to honor him.
Yeah, so to honor him.
Yeah.
And nobody finally memorized the verse that I couldn't get, which is, I played my drum for him, I played my best for him.
If you can't hear her well enough, then there needs to be some kind of signal for her to get closer to the microphone or something. Yeah.
They told me, pum 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 pum, our finest gifts we bring, pum 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 pum.
Haley, there you are.
We got little candles up here too. Know your lines, Jimmy? You know what to say?
The Word became flesh and lived among us, and we've seen His glory. The glory is of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. That's the amazing fact that God comes to His people. And that is always good news, that our Creator, our Redeemer, enjoys coming to be with us. That's why we're gathered today to worship, and we're glad that you could be a part of it. I think you're going to be blessed. Our younger congregants are going to be playing music and serving and whatnot as we worship today, and I'm sure you'll enjoy that. After the service, we'll have refreshments as usual, but they're fairly Christmassy. You'll see some brightly decorated cookies and some eggnog. So if you want to join us after, feel free to stay a minute. I don't like taking a whole lot of time with announcements, but we have much going on. Tonight, 6 o'clock, is the Christmas party at the Smith's house. The insert's there in your bulletin. Love to have you. It's always a time of just fun fellowship. So hope to see you there. Also, the men of the church will be frying turkeys next Saturday, starting at 10 o'clock in the morning. That announcement is in the bulletin with the details also. But we need to feed these 300-plus families about 11 more turkeys. And I don't know if you've had a chance to get one, but feel free to buy one. Better yet, if you could cook it and slice it and bring it to us, great. But we'll take any kind of donation or bird that you want to bring this week. So drop them off at the church anytime. But we have to have them by noon Friday because we're cooking them on Saturday. On Christmas Eve Day, we can use any and all of you. One of the things that happened this year is the drivers from Meals on Wheels, they're going to do the deliveries, which is different. We don't have to do that. But we do need as many people before 9 a.m. because from 7:30 to 9, we're going to be trying to get all 300-plus meals ready for delivery. So hope you can join us for that. Last but not least, there's an opportunity to give to the Joy Gift. The envelopes are in the pews. They'll be in there through the rest of this month. if you'd like to give to that special offering. Debbie Haas has a word for you. So, Debbie, you want to come up and say hello?
Now, we've done different things with kids, as you've seen over the years that I've been here, but this is especially for the kids. We had kids handing out the bulletins. We have kids who are going to be helping with the offertory. We have the music makers group who will be ringing the color-coded bells, and then we have the tone chimes group with a couple of big kids thrown in to fill out the group. We're very excited to be here. And if you want to see more talented children, Miss Paula West's studio will be having their Christmas program here in the auditorium, sanctuary, at 2 o'clock this afternoon. And all are invited. If you would like to hear some beautiful Christmas music performed by piano and voice students. Thank you.
Also, in the back, it's funny that ministers sit in the back row, but the Newtons are back there, and if you want to, there's Steve waving his hand. Steve has recently retired from Westminster in Nacogdoches, and he served there for a long time, and you'll get to hear him preach here in just a couple weeks, so feel free to tell he and his wife hello when you get a chance. But if you will, turn to those around you, welcome them with the peace of Jesus Christ. The peace of Christ be with you all.
I will read from Matthew 1:18 through 25, which tells us about the birth of Jesus. Imagine what it must have been like for Joseph to believe and comprehend his virgin bride was pregnant. What we learn from his acceptance of this news is he clearly believes that the one speaking to him in his dream is God. Because it is God speaking to him, Joseph knows all things are possible. Like Joseph, may we believe and act upon what God tells us in the scriptures. Now, the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph, but before they lived together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. Her husband Joseph, being a righteous man and unwilling to expose her to public disgrace, planned to dismiss her quietly. But just when he had resolved to do this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet. "Look, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel, which means God is with us." When Joseph awoke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took her as a wife, but had no marital relations with her until she had borne a son, and he named him Jesus. Let us pray. O God, as we celebrate your entrance into this world long ago in the birth of Jesus, our Savior, send your Holy Spirit now to prepare our hearts and live for his coming again. Let the gift of salvation so generously given bring joy to our hearts now and forever. Amen. Please join me in our Advent liturgy. Rejoice, the Lord is drawing near. This is what we celebrate during this Advent season as we wait with joyful anticipation for the unfolding of God's plan. It is a time of waiting with holy joy. Our joy is in Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Savior, the promised one, the anointed one, the one who came in flesh and will return again. Joy is at the heart of the Advent journey. We live in confidence of knowing that Jesus Christ draws ever near to us and that the peace of God will guide our hearts and minds. So today, we light our third Advent candle, the candle of joy. We have promised that our Lord and Savior is coming. We have opportunity to prepare and receive him. We rejoice that our lives are renewed through the joy that God is faithful.
Continue our praise. Let's stand if we're able. Let's sing hymn number 8. Lift up your heads, ye mighty gates, hymn 8.
Responsive reading this morning is on page 581 in your pew Bible. It's Psalm 146. And in this case, the psalmist really has experienced God's salvation. That seems obvious because of numerous situations. Here the psalmist in Psalm 146 not only rejoices in God's constant help, but has learned that trusting God is the greatest place for our trust to be placed. May we also give thanks to our saving God and learn to put our complete trust in God. This morning we will read responsively Psalm 146, so please join me as we read this responsively. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. Do not put your trust in princes, in mortals, in whom there is no help.
When their breath departs, they return to the earth. On that very day, their plans perish.
Happy are those whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord their God. Who executes justice for the oppressed, who gives food to the hungry. The Lord sets the prisoners free.
The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous.
The Lord watches over the strangers. He upholds the orphan and the widow, but the way of the wicked he brings to ruin.
Prisoners free, and because we have a Lord that opens the eyes of the blind, and because we have a Savior that upholds the orphan and the widow, let us respond to this good news, to this incredible reality with joy as we stand and sing together the Gloria Patri. be seated. One of the joys of giving is it gets us to look past ourselves and hopefully into the lives of others. And that's exactly what Jesus did. Having no thought of himself, he was concerned for us, the world, and so he gave his very life. Whenever we give, we're acting very much in the image and likeness of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and being made in the image of God. Could it feel good simply because that's what we're made and purposed to do? If you give, being grateful for all that God has provided you, I hope you do so with a joyful heart because God does love a joyful giver.
Thank you for being here with us on this glorious morning that you've created and given us today. Thank you for giving us life. Thank you for giving us life abundantly. May we ask that you continue to bless our church and all those in it. Lord, we thank you in this Advent season for your magnificent mercy, your sacrificial love when you sent your only Son to die for us so that we might have eternal life. Thank you for forgiving our sins, but more importantly, Lord, thank you for that assurance that we have when we approach you, that we know that you will forgive us, even though we might not deserve it. Please bless this offering that we give you today to your use. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Bell ringers, they're going to do one more song for us. Really, that was awesome. That was awesome. Any other young people you want to come up and be up here with me? If you want to just grab a place here on the steps, we could talk for just a quick moment. A quick Bible verse. This is from 1 John chapter 4, verse 10. And it says, "This is love." And I want y'all to hear what love is. "This is love, not that we love God, but that God loved us and sent His Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins." That's interesting. It says, you know, it's not that we loved God. God loved us so much that He sent Jesus Christ as a sacrifice for our sins. And I want to talk to you about that love of God. But first, I want to ask you, what do I have here?
A wreath.
A wreath. Okay. What shape is it?
A circle.
All right. What I want you to do, see, they're checking out the wreath. I want you to tell me, where does the wreath begin?
Nowhere.
Okay. Are you sure? It doesn't have a beginning point? It starts on the top and goes around. What do y'all think? Does it have a beginning point? Can you see where it says start or go or begin? Can you tell where it first started? No. Okay, well, where does it end? You think the bottom, maybe? Okay. You're right, Lexi. Lexi's exactly right. It never stops. You're going to learn this in school later on, and not to get you all out of joint, but you'll learn it in math. A circle has no beginning point or end. Because if you go around, you just keep going. You never stop. There's never a place where it ends. It just keeps going. So at Christmas time, you know why we put this out? God's love has no what? God's love is forever. There's no end to it. And so the circle helps remind us of that. But why else might we put wreaths out at Christmas? It is pretty. God's love is so beautiful and so wonderful, we want to somehow be reminded of how beautiful God's love is and how beautiful it can make our lives when we let it in. And one last thing. If you notice, though, wreaths are made out of evergreens. Did you know that? You know, what would you think about this wreath if it was just all brown and gray, if all the green had gone away? What'd you think about, it died. Yeah. See, in the wintertime, when you look outside, see, all the trees are off, all the leaves are off those trees out there. But not the evergreens. They remind us that even in the cold, gray, dark time of winter, there can still be life. Life can return even after the cold, cold winter. And so our wreath is an evergreen. Because God's love lasts forever, and that means our life in Him will last forever. And so you always see these at Christmas, because who did God give us? It wasn't a wreath. What did our Bible story say He gave us? Yes. And how do we know that love? In our heart, because He gave us who? Him. Who's Him? Tell them so they know. That's right, Jesus. Yeah, Jesus gave His life so that we could live. That's how we know God loves us. Yeah, we have a wreath up there. That should remind y'all that God's love lasts forever. And that love is for you. Why don't we ask God to just keep pouring that love into our hearts? Let's pray. Let's close our eyes. Let's bow our heads and let's pray. God, we thank You that Your love for us lasts forever. And we thank You that we know that because You sent us the greatest gift of all, Your Son, Jesus Christ. I pray that His love would continue to fill the hearts of these wonderful children, of us, and of all the world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hey, thanks y'all for sharing and talking about the wreath. Y'all give them a round of applause. Thanks so much. Tim, and our next hymn of praise is going to be Go Tell It on the Mountain, hymn 29. So grab your hymnals. Let's stand and sing hymn 29.
New Testament lesson this morning is out of Matthew chapter 3, lines 1 through 12, page 2 of the Pew Bible. So in today's New Testament lesson, we're going to hear how John the Baptist called all the people. He called them to ready themselves for the coming Christ. Their readiness would be evident in their repenting of sin and going forth to bear fruit. May we make clear our lives of sinful clutter and go about doing those things Jesus would do if Jesus were here in the flesh today. By doing so on the day that Christ returns, He will find us as a people who are ready for His return. So if you wish to follow along, page 2, chapter 3, 1 through 12. In those days, John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness of Judea, proclaiming, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." This is the one of whom the prophet Isaiah spoke when he said, "There is a voice, the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, 'Prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight.'" Now John wore clothing of camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locusts and wild honey. Then the people of Jerusalem and all Judea were going out to him in all the region along the Jordan, and they were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many Pharisees and Sadducees coming for baptism, he said to them, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruit worthy of repentance. Do not presume to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our ancestor.' For I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children to Abraham. Even now the axe is lying at the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. I baptize you with water for repentance, but one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to carry his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor and will gather his wheat into the granary, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. This is the word of the Lord."
Jaylen June. She is our a member of our East Texas Children's Chorus, which you gradually, gratefully and wonderfully support. And I'm going to say this is one of our first crossovers we've had from that group. That and little Chloe Johnson, they are in the Tone Chimes Choir, and Jaylen is singing the solo this morning.
Jaylen, that was wonderful. Feel free to sing here anytime. That was great. I'm going to read from Isaiah chapter 40. And the prophet wants to awaken the people to be ready for the new thing God will do. And so he comes bringing this good word from God to the people. I know a lot of you may be familiar with the end of chapter 40 of Isaiah, but we're going to focus this morning on its beginning, the first 11 verses. Before I read, let us pray. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and your word is proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us this very day. Amen. Comfort, O comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry to her that she has served her term, that her penalty is paid, and she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice cries out, in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be lifted up, and every mountain and hill be made low. The uneven ground shall become level, and the rough places a plain. Then the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all people shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. A voice says, cry out, and I said, what shall I cry? All people are grass, their constancy is like the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades, when the breath of the Lord blows upon it. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever. Get you high to a mountain, O Zion, herald of good tidings. Lift up your voice with strength, O Jerusalem, herald of good tidings. Lift it up, do not fear. Say to the cities of Judah, here is your God. See, the Lord God comes with might, and his arm rules for him. His reward is with him, and his recompense is with him. He will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms and carry them in his bosom and gently lead the mother sheep. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. I think Isaiah knew all too well that the life of Babylonian captivity had the Israelites there looking down, and what they needed, what they really truly needed, was to start looking up if they were going to be able to snap out of their depression and their cynicism. Even though their present moment was harsh and horrible, Isaiah encourages the people, look up, not down. Verse 9 enters, and the people's dismay is confronted with the words that make all the difference in the world. In the midst of their dismay, they're confronted with, behold, your God comes. Behold God. In verse 10, behold, your God comes. These are words that we should never read over glibly or gloss over as if they didn't make any difference at all. You see, behold, your God comes is the story of the Bible. God comes. God comes to us. God comes into our lives, present with us in our world, in our day. And because God comes to be present with us, all things are possible because, behold, your God comes. When life is impossible and tomorrow looks even more doubtful, we're to look up and believe, for the God of Isaiah and the God of all Scripture is a God who comes to work for the benefit of God's people. You know, just as Christmas lights shine in our neighborhoods in the darkness of our nights to remind us the light of the world has come, we need to remember to not get so focused on ourselves and our own little world that we forget, or even worse, no longer believe, behold, your God comes. We need to not let the gravity of our trials and troubles loom so large that we forget the promise of Isaiah and also the announcement of Christmas. And as I said, the whole entire rest of the Bible, behold, your God comes. You see, God comes to those that are barren. God comes to those that are enslaved. God comes to those that are lost. God comes to those in the wilderness. God comes to those that can't find their way. God comes to those that are attacked. God comes to those that are hungry. God comes to those that need fresh water. God comes in visions. God comes to kings. God comes to virgins. God even comes to mangers and stables. God even comes from the grave on the third day to say, your hopes will never, ever remain buried. It is time for us to believe that in whatever circumstance we are in, behold, our God comes. This chapter has amazing words. I want you to consider, too, how amazing are the words that begin the entire chapter. There in verse 1, it says, comfort, comfort my people. You see, Isaiah didn't stutter. Comfort is repeated twice to emphasize with a sense of urgency that God's desire, God's goal, God's urgent desire is to comfort his people. What's very surprising about these words is the Israelites believed, you know, we have sinned so bad, God won't have anything to do with us anymore. Jerusalem lay in ruin. The holy city and their homeland was in rubble. The glorious temple, which stood as the symbol of God's presence, was now destroyed, and the people thought, God has left us because we've wandered so far away in rebellion. As the Israelites were there trying to scrape a living in captivity in Babylon, the entire nation knew, beyond any shadow of a doubt, we really blew it. A young boy was writing a letter during Christmas, and he started out, dear God, please talk to Santa for me and tell him that I've been good all year. The boy thought for a moment that I've been good all year. He went and he scratched out the all year and he put for the last 6 months. But the boy couldn't write anymore. He paused yet again and he looked at that and he crossed out for the last 6 months and he put for the last 2 weeks. The boy thought a little more and then he sighed and he just pushed himself away from the table. He went over to the manger scene that his mom set up every year in the foyer of their house and he took the figurine Mary out of the manger scene and he sat back down to write there with the Mary figurine in his hand and he just started all over and he started writing, dear God, if you ever want to see your mother again. It is funny. I thought it was. But it's also true that the boy knew he had many bad moments and there wasn't really anything he could do to change all of that. There were times that he was aware that he had indeed missed the mark of holy perfection or just plain old good behavior, and there wasn't much that he could do about that. But amazingly and surprisingly, God's word to the people begins with the very thing they do not expect at all. Comfort. Comfort rather than condemnation. That's amazing grace. The people will get the very thing they don't deserve. The compassion of God in the form of deliverance and a new beginning will come to them. So as you enter this holiday season, I hope you'll remember everybody around you needs comfort of some kind. You know, our gift giving is supposed to get us looking past ourselves and hopefully into the lives of others. It's not here to boost the sales of retailers. The people ringing at the Salvation Army kettle are calling to our attention in the midst of all our hustle and bustle. Everybody around you needs some form of comfort. Won't you give? Another young boy was going up the stairs to his bed, to his bedroom with his father. And when they reached the top of the stairs and were about to go into the little boy's room, he said, "Dad, I'm afraid to sleep by myself tonight." And the dad said, "Son, you have nothing to fear. God is with you in every situation." And the son said, "Dad, I know that, but it's just that sometimes I need somebody with skin on." God must have heard that boy. God sent Christ not to condemn, but to save, to comfort, not to condemn. So the word became flesh and dwelt among us. Amazing grace. Today, Christmas calls us with the words, "Comfort, comfort my people," to be with those with skin on who go forth to comfort someone besides ourselves. You know, here in our church, we have the Shepherd's Ministry, and they are those with skin on for people that are in the hospital, homebound, or the nursing home who could use a good dose of comfort. The Meals on Wheels that we undertake each and every year for those that need food on Christmas Eve Day is our church being those with skin on for the people that are hungry. We have more church members volunteering at the local CISC ministry right now than we've had in a long time. They are there working to be those with skin on to comfort God's people. You see, God knows all about people needing to receive comfort from someone with skin on. So the word became flesh and dwelt among us. You know how people at Christmas time or at New Year's time, they write the letter to all their friends way beyond their family, and it talks about what all their family did during the year and where they went and any significant events that happened? Well, this woman did that, and she just sent it out to everyone that she knew about what her family did, where they went, and any significant events that happened to them. But the one that went to her minister was a little different. Yes, it had the letter, but she taped on top of that letter a handwritten note. And the handwritten note read, "Please pray for us. My husband and I are fighting a lot. My daughter has experimented with drugs. My son gave someone the bird, got punched in the face, and broke his nose. Our bills are piling up. I'm feeling overwhelmed." Like the people of Isaiah's day, we need to get real about what is really going on in our lives. We need to look up to God, for He comes. And the wonderful news is He comes not to condemn, but to comfort. Here in Isaiah, God is going to give these sinful people so much more than their sins deserve. God is bringing them a brand new start out of their dismay and depression. God will lead them out of bondage and into a new life. God will enable them to face the rubble of destruction and rebuild. The gift of grace provided by God will give the people a joy that they didn't deserve and a joy that they never expected. Newell Hillis, a preacher from long ago, called Isaiah chapter 40, and I like this, the climax of an epic, unwearied God and the fainting strength of His people. It is because God not only comes, but comes not to condemn, but to comfort. Comfort His people. If you keep reading, you will find at the end of the chapter, it says, they will mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not be faint. And that's because in Isaiah's day, that's because with our Advent wreath calling us to get ready and the Christmas we celebrate year after year, we're trying to remember that we believe in our heart of hearts the good news. Lo, your God comes. Amen. This morning, being a little bit different, I chose an excerpt from the Westminster Confession of Faith. Back then, when they were trying to tell the world what we believe about Jesus Christ based on their understanding of Scripture, this is what they came up with. So responding to God's Word today, may we stand here and hopefully out in the world, announce what we believe. But let's do that now using these words from the Westminster Confession of Faith. Please stand and let us declare what we believe. It pleased God in His eternal purpose to choose and ordain the Lord Jesus, His only begotten Son, to be the mediator between God and humanity, the prophet, priest, and king, the head and savior of His church, the heir of all things and judge of the world, unto whom He did, from all eternity, give a people to be His seed, and to be by Him in time redeemed, called, justified, sanctified, and glorified. The Son of God, the second person in the Trinity, being very and eternal God, of one substance and equal with the Father, did, when all the fullness of time was come, take upon Him humanity's nature, with all the essential properties and common infirmities thereof, yet without sin, being conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit in the womb of the Virgin Mary of her substance, so that the two whole, perfect, and distinct natures, the Godhood and the manhood, were inseparably joined together in one person without conversion, composition, or confusion, which person is very God and very human, yet one Christ, the only mediator between God and humanity. You may be seated, and because God is with us, let us go to Him in our prayers. God, forgive us those times that we not only ignore Your presence, but if we do recognize the fact that You are indeed with us, that we overlook the incredible miracle that it really truly is. Be filled with joy that You come to not just be present with us, but You come to comfort us. That because You are at our side, all things are indeed possible, and we can go forth as a people of hope, knowing with joy that in your faithfulness you will continue to fulfill all that you've promised. So I pray that we would live as a people made ready. Not only ready from the fact that you came and the fact that you're with us now, but for the fact that you will return again to set everything aright and make everything complete. Help us to go forth with joy and let that joy spill over into the lives of those we meet so that we can tell them the good news and the message of hope that comes from the salvation you so freely and eagerly give us in Jesus Christ. And for those that do need comfort, Lord, we lift them up. For Marguerite, who is now at Larkspur for rehab, for Dorothy Owen, who finds energy sometimes sparse, for the people in our midst that are still wrestling with cancer, we ask that you give them that persevering hope. We ask that you would give them that patience that is required for you to work your promises and bring about miracles and new beginnings. We ask your healing upon all those on our prayer list and all those that we might know in our hearts. Help the ministry of this church be a ministry that continues, that hears those words over and over again. Comfort, comfort my people. Because the people without you, God, are indeed lost, whether they admit it or not, and they need to know Jesus Christ as their Savior. Thank you that He's here shepherding us now and leading us into your presence. And because we can come to you with all that we need and all that we require, we come to you praying the way that He taught us by saying, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Our closing hymn, it's there in the bulletin. The words are printed. It's Emmanuel, Emmanuel. If you will turn to that, and let's go out singing that together. Emmanuel, Emmanuel. As you go, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit, now and forever. Amen.